All right, good morning. So I wake up this morning, and I don't know if you've heard this, but the Saharan sand. Have you read about that? So there's this big sandstorm in the Sahara that's come across into Texas. So my allergies are just like crazy. The good news is I have a deep masculine voice today for the first time. And so that I'm okay with that. But I am allergic to Saharan dust. Yeah. I'm also allergic to chainsaws, and I don't know if anybody noticed that. We're going to talk today about hearing from the Holy Spirit. And some of y'all are good at it. Some of y'all at 10:30 on Friday morning were prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray for their pastor. Pastor's doing something stupid. And I appreciate that. I still have all my fingers because of your prayers. It was a silly day. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, you can join me. The prayer that Paul the Apostle prayed for the church in Corinth as he closed that second letter to them, he said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." And so we've been talking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We've learned that fellowship, that word koinonia in Greek, has various shades of meaning. It can mean intimacy, the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. It can mean the partnership of the Holy Spirit. And it can mean the responsibility of the Spirit. And so last week we talked about having an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God. This week we're talking about what it means to partner with the Holy Spirit. Now, partnership, you and I know what a partnership is. The idea of a partnership is two or more people that are working together. They're engaged in the same activity, and each one of the partners brings something to the mix, adds value to the team, right? And so some of the greatest advances that we have in history come from partnership. My wife and I had a chance last year to visit North Carolina and saw the Wright Brothers Memorial. Those two guys partnered together and were the first in flight. Watson and Crick studied DNA and made advances in the study of DNA. Page and Brin invented the internet with Al Gore's help, probably. So partners, Ben and Jerry, great historical partners, Batman and Robin. And so we know what a partnership is. So on a serious note, though, there's a partnership maybe you didn't think about before, and that is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus partnered with the Spirit of God while he was on this earth. He did nothing apart from the Spirit of God. So just a couple samples. Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. His divinity is confirmed to Mary when Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit and John the Baptist jumps in her womb. At his dedication, Simeon and Anna, the prophetess and prophet, confirm that he's divine. And I'm not even out of the first chapter of the Gospels yet. So Jesus did nothing apart from the Spirit of God. John reminds us, "For the one whom God sent speaks God's words, since he gives the Spirit without measure." Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. And he knew that living the Christian life, walking in spiritual power, learning to minister to other people, all of that would be impossible for us without the partnership of the Holy Spirit. So you're not good enough, you don't have enough to give, but the Spirit of God comes and partners with us and leads us as we go through life. So we have a part to play. Every partner brings something to the game, to the match. We'll discuss that in a minute. But the Spirit adds value in certain ways I'm going to share with you this morning. So, first of all, he is our heavenly counselor. Jesus said, "I will send you," he said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. I will not leave you as orphans." And so he's going to send us another counselor. That word is, we've talked about, is parakletos in Greek. It means counselor. It means helper. It means comforter. It means advocate. It means advisor. And that was Jesus' role with the disciples. When Jesus was with the disciples for those 3 years of ministry, he was their counselor, he was their helper, he was their comforter, he was their advocate, he was their advisor. And now Jesus said he was going back to heaven, and so he would send another like himself. I will give you another counselor, a paraclete, parakletos. Now, that's a compound word. The word para at the beginning means alongside or with. The second word is kaleo, and it means to call. So literally the word parakletos means one called alongside. That's the Holy Spirit's place. He's called alongside us. Para in the Greek always has a geographic connotation. Okay, it describes being very close. It describes being side by side. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, it says, as the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing para by Lake Gennesaret. And so the picture that Luke's painting is Jesus is preaching, and everybody's so excited to hear what he says. They keep crowding in on him. They keep pushing forward. Jesus is backing up because the crowd keeps coming. Finally, he's standing in the water. So it's close by, nearby. Jesus reminds us in John 14 that the Spirit's place is with us and in us. So he doesn't minister to us from far away. We don't have to shout to get the Spirit's attention. Paul says, in him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. So the moment you were saved, the moment you laid down your life and said, Jesus, you take it up. I want to be Lord. I want you to be Lord of my life. That very moment, the Spirit of God moved into your heart. That very moment. And he has been there every moment since, and he will be there until the end. Every minute of every day. So that's the Spirit's place. But what's his purpose? Well, that word, remember, para kaleo. Kaleo means call. When Paul, one called alongside, when Paul describes his ministry, that's the word he uses. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Called as an apostle. Now, you probably remember the story of his calling. He was on the road to Damascus going to persecute the church. And Jesus appeared to him and blinded him and knocked him off his horse. And Jesus called him and said, I want you to be an apostle to the Gentiles, to the nations. And that was Paul's calling. And he lived that out the rest of his life. Now, notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say, I'm called an apostle. He says, I'm called to be an apostle. It was his vocation. It was his job. And so Paul lived the rest of his life doing that, following his divine calling. And in the similar way, the Holy Spirit is called to minister to us. That's his calling. He's called alongside. He ministers to us. He's not accidentally living in you or with you. He isn't a divine hobo that just needed a place to crash. He's in you for a divine purpose. He has direction. He has a job. He has a calling. And so just as Jesus was the counselor for and the helper and the comforter and the advocate and advisor for the disciples, the Holy Spirit is called to do the same thing for us. Jesus said, I'll send you another counsel. I won't leave you as orphans. I will send my Spirit to you. One way to look at the Spirit's work in us is maybe through the term of coaching, that the Holy Spirit is our heavenly coach. Jesus said, I'll send you another coach. So for 3 years, the disciples walked with Jesus, and Jesus coached them on everything, right? He taught them where to go. He showed them how to pray. He taught them how to think, how to minister to people, how to make decisions. But now he's leaving, and he says, I'm going to send you another coach. I know you need a coach. I'm going to send another coach. When you think about the roles that coaches play, good coaches take whatever skill you have, however much, however little, and they help us get better. That's what a coach does. He helps correct from their knowledge, from their experience. They give helpful hints. They've been around the block a couple times, and so they know what they're talking about. They give game time strategy. And most importantly, I think, for coaches, they encourage. They push you to new limits. When you have a good coach, you do more than you think you could do. Because they encourage you. They're shouting encouragement as you go along. And so that's what John's describing. When he describes a coach in 1 John 2:27, he says, As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as he has taught you, remain in him. That is an exact picture of what we're talking about, the Spirit of God coaching us and teaching us as we go through life. It's not saying that we don't need human teachers. John's saying is that even in the absence of human teachers, you will always have the Spirit of God to teach you the truth. So the question then is for us, and I think also it was a question for the disciples as well, when Jesus says, okay, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to send you another counselor like myself. The problem is we can't physically see the Holy Spirit, and we don't auditorily hear the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you could see. Jesus, you could hear. And so now we're switching horses midstream. How are you going to trust this new Holy Spirit that you haven't known? And I think that was an issue for the disciples. And I think because they trusted Jesus implicitly, it would be challenging for them to switch and now start trusting someone they can't see, someone they can't hear, this new coach. But I think that's why Jesus says three times in John 14 through 16, he calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. So he repeats it over and over. He's the Spirit of Truth. He's the Spirit of Truth. He'll teach you all things. He'll remind you of what I've done. Jesus told him in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now he's sending the Spirit of Truth. And so the disciples are starting to catch on. Oh, this is the same team. They're saying the same things. Their goals are the same goals. I just can't see one of them or hear them. And so we learn to develop an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we'll begin to recognize his coaching. Okay? He will put a thought into your heart for you to do something. Oh, it's 10:30. Pastor's doing something stupid. I should pray for him. He'll convict us when we're wrong and encourage us to repent. He'll put an idea in your mind. He'll nudge you to do this or that. That is the Spirit of God leading you, coaching you, guiding and directing. So we talk about baseball for a second. So say you're a batter and you're in a slump. Okay, you haven't gotten a hit in a while. And the batting coach pulls you aside and says, listen, I've been watching you. I think if you would choke up on the bat a little bit and shorten your stance, you get a hit. Now, at that point, you've got an option. You can listen to the coach. He told you what he thinks the problem is. You can give it a shot and see if it works, or you can just keep striking out the way you have been up until then. And so that's really where we are in life. It's not that the Spirit of God isn't speaking to us. It's like we're not listening very often, and he's always working with us, but we're not always listening to him. And when we hear him, if we would develop this intimacy we talked about last week and learn to hear his voice and feel those nudges and follow up on those ideas, if we will trust him, the truth that he shares, and we take his advice, our spiritual batting average. It's going to be off the charts. So he is our coach. He's also our leader. Matthew chapter 9. The Holy Spirit is our leader. Jesus, when he was on this planet, was led by the Holy Spirit. He followed the Spirit of God. Luke chapter 4 says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then in verse 14, when Jesus came back after being tempted, it says that he came back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus' whole life was one in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And he knew that his disciples needed to follow the Holy Spirit and how we need to follow the Holy Spirit. And so there's two things that we do, what we need to deal with in relation to our leadership or being led by the Holy Spirit. The first is that we need to learn to wait. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, sometimes it seems like God moves really, really slow. And he doesn't do things as quickly as I think he should get them done. And so a lot of my spiritual life is trying to learn to wait. Let him lead me and learn to wait on him. Jesus did that in his ministry. When he went to Nazareth, for instance, his hometown, it says that he could not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And then in the next chapter over, Luke chapter 5, it says the Lord's power was on Jesus to heal. So Jesus had an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God, so he knew the difference between the two. He knew when it was time to heal, and he knew when it wasn't time to heal. The Spirit told him. And so that's how he ministered to people. Chapter 9 is a great story, an interesting one, of Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. It says, "And Jesus went from there, two blind men following him, calling out, 'Have mercy on us, son of David.' And when he entered the house, the blind men approached him. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I can do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' And then he touched their eyes, saying, 'Let it be done for you according to your faith.' And their eyes were opened, and Jesus warned them sternly, 'But be sure that no one finds out.' But they went out and spread the news about him throughout the whole area." I love all those stories when Jesus says, "Okay, now don't tell anybody." That's the first thing they do. Like, well, and can't blame them. They were blind. Now they see. So it's an interesting story because I want you to try to imagine the scene with me. So Jesus is walking through town. These two blind men obviously don't see what's going on, but hear what's going on. Somebody ran up and said, "Jesus is here. Jesus the healer." And so they're pretty excited. And so they start shouting out. And that's exactly what the Greek word there means. It means to yell and scream. So my version says they called out, but the words literally, they yelled and screamed at Jesus. And Jesus kept walking. And so they, to the best of their ability, try to follow, but they can't see anything. Maybe they're grabbing on robes of other people or just feeling their way through the crowd. And Jesus keeps on going. They're yelling and they're screaming, and he doesn't stop to heal them. I'm sure that he heard the racket they were making, but for whatever reason, Jesus didn't heal them until they relentlessly follow him into this house. And then Jesus talks to them. And then he asks if they believe and that he could heal them. And they say, "We do." And then he says, "Well, let it be done according to your faith." And they're healed. So why didn't Jesus heal immediately? I mean, it's an unanswerable question. But you're walking through town, there's these two blind men. Jesus could just heal them, you know, boom, boom, and move on. But for whatever reason, the timing wasn't right then. And when the time was finally right, the time was right. You following me? See, it was Jesus was listening to the Spirit of God. I think the same thing is true of the man that was healed at the beautiful gate in Jerusalem. Acts tells us that he was crippled from birth, that he was 40 some odd years old, and that they put him every day at the beautiful gate to beg for money. Jesus went through the beautiful gate dozens and dozens of times in his 3 years of ministry, and he never healed the guy. He had to see him. Everybody in town knew him. He was a fixture. But then when Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, he asked for alms, and Peter and John said, "We don't have any money, but I'll tell you what we got. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." That was the right time. God knew the timing of it because God's got a big plan for things. And so Jesus could have healed that man, but when Peter and John did it, now the church was seen as powerful, as having the power of God. And that's when the gospel went to the ends of the earth. So God's got timing, and we need to learn how to wait on him. We also need to learn how to follow. You remember when you were a kid and you played follow the leader? Yes? No? Yeah? Yeah, that was fun. I mean, if the leader wasn't your big brother, it was kind of a fun game. But basically, I don't really remember rules to it other than you just had to do whatever the leader said to do, right? And that children's game reminds me of Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Paul writes, "For those led by God's Spirit are God's sons." We'll add daughters, okay? "For all those led by God's Spirit are God's children." Now, the structure of that sentence is important because the structure of it puts the Holy Spirit in the first position and all of those who follow the Spirit in second. In other words, we're behind. We're not in front. We are behind. We are children playing follow the leader with the Holy Spirit. We do what he says. Now, it's interesting, that verb to lead is the word ago in Greek, but it's also the root word for the word agon, which means conflict or struggle. And isn't that just a great description of me? It describes me pretty well. The Holy Spirit wants to lead me, but I don't always want to be led. We talked about it the other day when there was a child at Vacation Bible School that said, I love Jesus. I just don't want to do everything he tells me to do. And that's the way we are. We want to be led by the Spirit of God, and yet there's part of us that wants to lead ourselves, and we struggle against giving up our leadership to the Spirit of God. We don't like to follow. We have to learn how to die to the flesh and die to our own will so that the Holy Spirit can then lead us. Romans chapter 8, verse 13, "Because if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." It's that simple. So I say, every morning when you roll out of bed, commit a good murder. Die to yourself. Invite the Holy Spirit's leadership to lead you through the day, to coach you through the day. And so that's how we live the adventure. So I mentioned a partnership has, in our case, two: Holy Spirit and me. In your case, Holy Spirit and you. Each brings value. The value you add is your relationships. You live here. You bring glory to God when the world sees your good deeds. You can tell people about Jesus. You can minister to hurting people. This is what you bring to the table. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you to do those things and wants to coach you to do those well and show you how to do it. And he'll lean over and say, "You know what? You need to choke up on the bat a little bit, or shorten your stance just a bit." And we learn to listen. But here's the thing. It is possible to have the Holy Spirit called alongside and still ignore him. That word, remember, means side by side. He's right here with you. It's possible to still ignore him, even though he's with you, even though he's in you. It is possible to have a heavenly coach. We refuse his instruction. Choke up on that a little bit. No, it's good. I'm going to keep doing it this other way. It's possible to have a heavenly leader we run ahead of. It's possible to have a heavenly leader we refuse to follow. But when we do, we're missing the whole point. We will never mature the way we could as Christians. If we don't learn to walk with His Holy Spirit, listen to, follow His leadership, and listen to His coaching, we won't mature like we should. We won't overcome the challenges in life that we will face like we could, and we'll never grow in our intimacy with God. So my prayer for you this week is this: may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's pray together. We'll close. Lord, thank you that you sent us another counselor in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to teach us all things. And Lord, to partner with us as we go through life. You didn't leave us alone. You didn't abandon us. You didn't leave us as orphans. You sent us another coach who's called alongside us through life to whisper in our ear and show us the way to go. And so we're so very grateful. We know that the expense was great, Lord, that you sent another counselor because of your death. And so we appreciate his role in our lives. And so, Lord, let us be coachable. Let us be good followers. As we prayed earlier, give us ears to hear, that we tune in to your Spirit and we begin to recognize his voice. Thank you, Lord, for your ministry today. Seal this word in our heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us online. If you're online and you need to talk to somebody, please call 222-2627. We'll have ministry team up here if we can pray for you before you go. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. God bless you. Have a great week.